We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mike Conte joining us as he does every week on the waveboard.com hotline. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
So how was your weekend, Mike Conte?
I had a really great lunch on Saturday. The eighth season or eighth episode of Succession last night in this season was really good. Oh, it was amazing. Really good episode last night. So those were the highlights. Kind of few and far between. I had a very nice visit with Paul Bible, our old friend on Saturday.
Okay, Paul Bible, my man.
50th birthday. So it wasn't all that bad.
Okay.
That's about the extent of it.
Okay. Let's talk a little Atlanta United. Let me say his name right. Thiago Almeida, finally official. What is he going to bring to the team next season?
Not actually official yet. So,
not actually,
so
okay.
I know this is confusing because Almada's team in Argentina announced that they had a deal with Atlanta United. Atlanta United has said, yeah, we're aware of those reports. We have an option to purchase him, but we haven't made a decision yet.
Okay.
So there is a difference.
Okay.
And that could be for a variety of different reasons. If it turns out that Almada does come here, then it would be for an MLS record transfer fee. Atlanta United would break the record amount that they paid for Pity Martinez, which broke the record amount that they paid for Ezequiel Barco. So I think it does show you that Atlanta United is still trying to be very ambitious and spend a lot of money, but I don't think it is over the finish line yet. If he gets here, he's going to be a really impactful player. He's very good. Had a great season for Vélez Sarsfield in Argentina, played for the Argentine junior national team at the Olympics with Ezequiel Barco, but it sounds like it's not quite across the finish line yet.
We're going to ask you to wear a lot of hats today, Mike, because we've got a lot to touch on from this weekend. Tell me about the two finishes, the 9-point fourth quarter against Philadelphia, and then you got lit up. I mean, you had a couple of guys who just didn't want to miss, apparently, with the Hornets, who are maybe they're a better team than I
well,
give them credit for.
Charlotte's a great team. Charlotte's the number one scoring team in the NBA. More points per game than anyone else in the league. Very good three-point shooting team. What was surprising is Charlotte did that last night without LaMelo Ball and without Terry Rozier, who are both in health and safety protocols. So I think a lot of people have kind of been dwelling on, well, Charlotte had those two guys out. You should have cleaned their clocks. It's not always that easy. Last night, the Hawks could not get a stop in the fourth quarter, only one stop in the final 2.5 minutes. Friday night against Philadelphia, the Hawks were getting tons of stops. They just couldn't make anything in the final 3.5 minutes where they did not score. Philadelphia outscored the Hawks 7-0 over that span, 1-2. When you lose an NBA game by two, you go back to individual moments. The Hawks had three technical fouls called against them on Friday night. That is something you can ill afford to have happen. Again, turnovers and points off, second chance points. A lot of those little things that are kind of hidden in the box score, that really came back to hurt the Hawks. On Friday, Philadelphia was also shorthanded without Tobias Harris that night, but the Hawks are shorthanded too, and I think that's kind of getting forgotten a little bit in this two-game losing streak. Two games that the Hawks are going to want to have back, but they don't have Bogdanovich. They need to get him back. They need to get Reddish back, and I really feel like if Onyeka Okongwu were available Friday against Joel Embiid, someone he had a lot of success against in the playoffs last year, that could have made a big difference. So, yes, the 76ers and Hornets were shorthanded, but the Hawks were too.
You know, Mike, I always say this because it's always true. I love talking to you, especially on weekends like the ones that we just had, where I can get a different perspective. And I want to know your perspective on this Alabama-Georgia game.
Yeah.
And how do you see – what was the downfall for Georgia in this game from your perspective?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think Georgia missed a real opportunity to put the game away early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking, Georgia's up 10-0. If they get a stop and a score, that game is over. Alabama is not going to be able, in my opinion, to come back from 17 down against that Georgia defense, especially if their confidence is rattled in that kind of way. So I do think Georgia missed a chance to put the game away early. They couldn't establish the run game. That's a huge problem. I think a lot of the blame for what happened Saturday is being miscast towards their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I hate to say it, I think there are a lot of people out there who might be somewhat rooting against Stetson Bennett because it could prove them to be correct that JT Daniels should be their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't really heard anyone explain what throws JT Daniels can make that Stetson Bennett cannot
make. And see, that's my thing, Mike. I can't sit here in all honesty and say that by putting JT Daniels in those same positions – coming off the bench, that he would have been that big of a difference.
Yeah, I agree. I don't get that. I understand that line of thinking. I don't understand the certainty that, oh, yeah, you put JT Daniels in, it's a completely different game. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I think we've seen him deliver the ball downfield with far more authority.
What? Okay, and Bennett hasn't? I mean, now again.
Yes, with more authority than Bennett, yes.
Ooh, I have. I respect your opinion, John, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but again, I mean, okay, JT Daniels is getting it downfield with authority. In what situations, though? I mean, he certainly didn't do that in the Clemson game where he was a starter. Since then, he has come off the bench. The game situations that he's been put into, I don't know if you can really fairly evaluate what JT Daniels can do.
Lack of evaluation, and that goes back to the my whole point about Kirby, is that he would almost refuse to, you know, well, you couldn't, you know, Mike Griffin's saying, you know, Justin Fields wasn't, you know, capable of grasping the offense. Well, Hugh is right when he says, well, then you run an offense for him.
True.
And you're able to evaluate. Maybe he stays.
John, let me
look, it's an endemic problem of Kirby Smart here, that he is so gun-shy, and scared money don't make money. And if he doesn't,
does not make money.
You know, and right now that's why I view him, is that he is afraid. He coaches afraid sometimes.
Well, he should. Wow. He should not have coached afraid against Alabama. I mean, you're playing with house money. You should go in there with all kinds of confidence. And it might have been one of those deals where, look, Alabama was a desperate team. Georgia had really nothing to play for other than the number one seed. They were going to go into the playoff either way. That might have had a psychological impact. I just refuse to believe, though, John, that like Kirby Smart is sitting there in the Buttsmere Center this morning in Athens going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to keep my better quarterback off the field because I'm trying to prove a point that Stetson Bennett's my guy. And win or lose, I'm going to leave a better quarterback on the side. I just don't see that. Remember, too, we are not privy. Georgia has their week of game stuff locked down in a way that, you know, we don't see in the NFL. We don't even see in a lot of college programs where there's very little access that we get to watch this team practice. So we don't know what Kirby Smart and his coaching staff is seeing on the practice field that we are not seeing. We have to guess a little bit. So I just think, again, like, and I think you had a good talk with Dave Archer about this, and Arch is correct. I think the leash is shorter now on Bennett in this Michigan game. I don't think Bennett did anything to play himself out of a starting role on Saturday. I really, really don't. And until someone can explain to me, these are the throws that JT Daniels can make that Stetson Bennett cannot make, I'm going to be stuck on this position that Stetson Bennett is the starting quarterback for the University of Georgia and deserves to be.
Yeah,
talk to me a little bit, because I know that you and I watch Big Ten football in a way that most of our listeners don't, because we're fans of teams in the Big Ten. So we've seen Michigan play a lot.
Yeah.
This team, you know, with the two quarterbacks, with the running quarterback that he does come in with, that Harbaugh comes in with to break it up a little bit, they run the football very well. Hutchinson is a load and a half. He and Karloftis at Purdue are the two best rush ends that nobody knows about down south. They can out-muscle you in a lot of ways, and they want to do that. They want to play a physical game.
They do, and that's what's interesting about Michigan is – they out-muscled Ohio State. They won the game doing that. I thought they out-finessed Iowa. So it's interesting how Michigan can kind of hurt you in different ways. I also think this Michigan team has improved dramatically over the last 3 weeks, because Penn State had him dead and buried in Beaver Stadium in mid-November. And since then, Michigan has played at a completely different level. I watched a lot of that Michigan-Iowa game on Saturday. I actually thought Iowa was going to win the game. I picked Iowa. The one thing that stood out to me about Michigan is they had a substantial speed advantage over Iowa. You saw those two long touchdown runs early. Really, not necessarily a function of blocking and tackling, just guys running past each other. Michigan is not going to have a speed advantage on Georgia. So then it comes down to, can Michigan get the ball downfield and challenge that Georgia secondary? I don't know if they can block Georgia long enough. Again, a transitive property is really, really dangerous to use in college football. But I had some Georgia fans asking me on Twitter yesterday, how do you compare Michigan to Auburn? Those are two teams that Penn State played at home this year. In my opinion, not a whole lot separated Michigan and Auburn as far as just what they're able to do, general level of talent. I do think Michigan's better at the quarterback position than Auburn was in September. I also think Penn State was a much worse team when they played Michigan than when they played Auburn, but I don't think a lot separates them. I think Georgia should be able, John, to handle Michigan relatively comfortably, and I have a lot of respect for Michigan. I think Georgia will be pulling very, very hard for the Cincinnati Bearcats in the Cotton Bowl.
I was just about to ask you, Mike Conte, because I've been on this bandwagon a little bit this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm ordering a T-shirt as we speak. Do my Bearcats have a chance?
Well, I think they're going to play really well. There's going to be a lot of emotion because Cincinnati is going to be playing for all the non-power five, all the little guys out there. There's going to be a lot of emotion. Luke Fickell can coach and game plan. I am sure he is scouring that Auburn video and that Texas A&M video as we speak. But I think Alabama is going to have to make mistakes in order for Cincinnati to have a chance. And if you watch Saban and the way that he has coached, especially in playoff semifinals, the Washington game here in Atlanta at the end of the 2016 season really stands out to me, where Alabama had a clear talent advantage and Saban was very, very conservative. Get out of there. I think they won like 17-0, 21-0.
Just win the game.
Just get out of there and move on. And I think Saban will probably try to put Bryce Young and that offense in a position where they're not going to be doing anything risky. And if Alabama doesn't make mistakes just on talent alone, it's a tough matchup for Cincinnati. But I think Cincinnati will hang in. I really do. And I hope they do. I am pulling for them.
Yeah, that's
I think it would be a great story. The reason why you made the playoff is to give a program like Cincinnati a chance, and now they have that chance.
So that's a no. That's a no.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Look, what's the number, 13.5?
Yeah, something like that.
I wouldn't be shocked if Cincinnati covered that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know realistically because Alabama has way too many, like they say, kids coming out of the gas station or horses in the stable, if you will. But it would be nice to see, because I think at this point, for us being, you know, Georgia fans and being here in Georgia, that's probably the only chance that we're going to get that. Like,
kind of feels that way right now.
Cincinnati, I don't think, knock them off.
I think Georgia had a bad day at the office on Saturday. I think they're better than what they showed on Saturday. But you do wonder, are you ever going to be able to beat this guy?
Yeah,
you haven't done it yet.
Which is the risk-reward thing. You're going to have to take some risk. And Kirby just does not want to risk. He is...
Maybe we should just fight them head up, like Nick and Kirby just fight straight up.
We'll see. It's a great debate, and we're going to be debating it a lot over the next 3 weeks.
Yes, we are.
All right, Mike Conte, man of many hats. As always, let's get a Hawks a win tonight and get rolling in the right direction here against Minnesota. Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.